Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We're getting you ready for Pro Football's Final Four.
You know what it's going to take? 60 minutes of physical football. Our very best.
This is a conference championship week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Our 11 versus their 11 for 60 minutes.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, The Fan, or the Party Animals on YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM, The Fan. Party on, party people. The Portland Trailblazers are still playing basketball. Did you know that?
Turns out they are. In fact, today even.
Yeah.
Today, even, they're playing basketball.
Look at that.
Playing the Orlando Magic.
At 4 o'clock tip.
God, I love the early tips.
Yeah. Oh, man, stepped on that. Right now, they are 15 and 28. For those that can do math, that's 43 games. That's over halfway. We're halfway done.
We're on the way down the hill. Woohoo!
We are over halfway done.
Sweet Jesus, thank you.
That projects out to, right around 30 wins. This season.
Yeah, Kevin Pelton has his win projection based on first half as 31 wins.
Don't like it.
I am going to smash the under.
Oh.
Smash the under.
Okay.
The under. Give it to me.
Well, the Blazers, we've talked about this before, but the Blazers' remaining strength of schedule, it actually has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Indeed.
They are now eighth toughest schedule remaining in the entire National Basketball Association.
There's been some injuries.
A few teams that they're in contention with for one of those worst records are ahead of them with tougher schedules. New Orleans mm-hmm. has the fourth toughest schedule. Utah has the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're catching Utah.
Utah and Washington, throw them out.
But New Orleans has been playing.
They'll win.
Betta ball. Mm-hmm. They're playing betta ball. They've won four games in a row. They're on tonight, right? They've been off for a couple of days.
Yeah, because of the snow.
Oh, yeah. Their game got postponed.
Yeah.
People were ice skating on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, no, the Bucks are left this morning to play their game tonight.
Wait, they left?
New Orleans.
New Orleans this morning? Miami?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well,
and it looks, sounds like they're going to push the game back 90 minutes.
I'll tell you what, that's a tough road trip to dress for. Well, how do you pack for that?
Well, the Blazers knew it was going to be cold in Miami and Orlando, and they were all kind of bummed because this is the trip at this time of year where when you go down there,
get
a little reprieve, and you know, guys don't typically bring their golf clubs.
Well, they're going to come back home for the warmth.
Yeah, I know, but there's no golfing because the hotel they stayed at in Orlando is on a golf course.
Mm.
But also, I know guys have either stayed over a day in Orlando or stayed over a day in Miami and then drove down.
Oh.
Because it's not that far. It's a half-hour flight.
Yeah.
It's very, very short. So, but they've made that hike just because they're like, I'm going to play golf at this particular resort because Florida, good for golf.
Mm. Well, despite the Blazers not having the worst record in the NBA, they have the second worst point differential in the entire NBA,
which is a
8.4
more precise predictor historically of eventual outcome.
Yeah. Utah is sitting there and they're 5 games better than the Blazers or worse than the Blazers in the win column. Only 4 worse than the Blazers in the loss column. They have a minus 6.8 point differential. The worst team in the NBA is the Washington Wizards. Their point differential is negative 14.4. Mind you, the Blazers are second worst at minus 8.4. That's really bad.
He's very, very bad. Now, if you go by point diff when you throw out garbage time, it's minus 14.8. Point diff for the Wizards. The New Orleans is at negative 9.4, Brooklyn negative 9, Portland negative 9.
Okay. So where do we see this team going? Because like if you look at the easiest schedules in the NBA remaining, teams like Charlotte at 26th, Toronto is at 30th, and Toronto is one of those teams where I just cannot get a good read and feel on them because at times they look like one of the worst teams in the NBA, but other times like they hang with a lot of teams. They beat the Boston Celtics, for God's sakes.
No, of all of the max contracts handed out to the rookie scale guys last year, Scottie Barnes is the one that made me raise my eyebrow the most. Talent-wise, he's there. The other stuff, the
leadership
and intangibles, like I'm not buying in.
Okay.
And I think that affects them. They're trying to move off of Bruce Brown. There's potential for them moving off of Jakob Poeltl, but that kind of leaves him in a weird spot. Masai Ujiri's on very thin ice right now after sitting on OG Anunoby and sitting on Pascal Siakam for so long and getting nothing for them. It's an interesting spot. I think they might win some games, but I think they're in the competition. The teams that you're really fighting against.
Brooklyn also has an easy schedule.
Yeah, New Orleans and Brooklyn. Like those are the ones that you're going to be fighting against, so to speak, for that fourth or fifth worst record in the league.
Okay.
And that's where you're getting to. You're not getting to the bottom three. That's just Washington is they have decided we don't care. Their entire roster is constructed without a single playmaker outside of Malcolm Brogdon. And Brogdon isn't that guy.
You don't think Toronto can peel off a few? They got 4 games remaining against the Wizards.
No. I think they can. As I was saying, I don't think they're...
Well, that would put the Blazers at bottom three if they can't catch Utah, can't catch...
Washington. But, again, because Portland won probably 3 more games than they should have by beating the Pelicans twice, well, 3 times, but... In quick succession, the Pelicans twice and the Timberwolves twice.
Yeah.
Like those early season, those 4 early season wins that you would probably project at minimum going 1-3 if those teams are healthy and not dysfunctional and not broken just to their very cores. 3 more losses right now has them at 12 total losses or 12 total wins, and that puts them tied with New Orleans and 1 game ahead of both Charlotte and Toronto. Like, that's the biggest difference in the season.
Obviously, we want to see the Blazers end in the bottom 5.
Yes. Right?
I mean, I think that is what everybody kind of wants to see, win-loss record, bottom 5 of the NBA. That inherently boosts your odds.
Ethical tanking to where the basketball gods rewarded.
Okay, how do we get to that ethical tanking, though? Because what do we need to see here? Because we have the trade deadline is fast approaching. We're less than 3 weeks away from that, right?
Yep. 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Yeah. Golly, only 2 weeks
actually,
now?
I think 2 weeks from today.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
6. Because I wrote my trade primer was 16 days. It was 2 days ago, yeah.
Where do we see this team and what do we need to see over the next 2 weeks? And then what do we expect to see moving forward? I think is the biggest kind of indicator of direction of the team, because there are assets that we've been told by the front office have been attractive for tradable assets. The market has been depressed by the new CBA. But again, though, I don't think that it sits well with a fan base to be told that, hey, we are going to do X, Y, and Z, and then be like, well, we didn't see this coming. That doesn't bode well for...
No, it's not going to bode well for the Blazers, or it's not going to bode well for really anybody, because I think you're going to see a lot of organizations doing that.
Wins and losses aside, what do we need to see?
I think the biggest thing you need to see is some sort of directional shift in the sense of where they're going to go and how they're going to go. And I've been pro, hey, keep the veterans around until the training wheels need to come off. Mm-hmm. And if you believe this run with Scoot is more substantial, then you can start pivoting towards that. If you believe that Shaden is starting to figure things out, you can start pivoting towards that. The same thing is true to a lesser extent with Two and Denny, which I think Denny is fine. The interesting one is even executives on other teams and talking to them about like DeAndre Ayton. They're like, yeah, he's not movable, and he's not. He's not movable right now at all. When he's on his final year of his deal going this summer and he's operating as a $34 or $35 million expiring, that changes. But also, Donovan can't stay healthy yet, and Rob has never been able to stay healthy. So, like, he just kind of...
It's not a good thing for your 7-foot rookie to already say that.
Well, I mean, right, he hasn't had those issues until this year. Like, he didn't have them in college, so...
Also, not what Blazer fans want to hear.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on.
Great, yeah, yeah. Center that can't stay healthy, awesome.
But DeAndre does work as an innings eater. And so it's like, until those guys are, and at least until Donovan's ready, because I don't care how many Reddit threads are out there screaming about playing Donovan Klingon 30 minutes, he can't.
But he literally, his
full body
stop, can't do it.
He can't do it right now. And I don't care how angry that makes people. I don't care how far. He cannot physically do it night in, night out. It's just not a thing he can do yet.
Well, I mean, just think of... he's already played a full NCAA schedule.
Yes.
And 43 games is where you're at, where you look at in college basketball, like, that's your full slate, guys. And it there is, especially for bigs, it's a lot more difficult for them to go down that
curve road. Because it's the speed that you play at and how many more possessions. Like, look, how many games this season, okay, he has appeared in 31 games, which to your point, 32 to 36 is an NCAA season.
Last year... they played 40 games.
Okay. And that's including the NCAA tournament, which was for them five?
Yeah.
I think it's five, if I'm not mistaken. Because they won the Big East tournament, too.
Yeah.
So I think their regular season was 32.
I'm just trying
three
to,
Big East games, then five.
I want to fact check that.
No,
feels about right.
Yeah, I think that's where it was because I'm almost certain for some reason 32 is sticking in my head for them as far as regular season games. But how many times this...
They were 31-3 in the regular season.
So 34, okay.
Yeah.
So he's played 31 games, appeared in 31 games this season. How many times do you think he has played more than 28 minutes?
Twice?
Once.
Yeah. Damn.
And that's not because of DeAndre Ayton or Robert Williams. It's because he can't. Like, so for me, get him healthy, fully healthy as well. You can't never get fully healthy during an NBA season. Get him as close to as healthy as possible where there's the chance for re-injury or for aggravation or any of those things falls to the wayside, right? And then see how many minutes he can play while being effective, because that was both the coaching staff and the front office have both told me the same thing. They are in alignment of, we do not want to play him X amount of minutes just to get to a minutes threshold. We want productive, good minutes out of him. And as you get more productive, good minutes out of him, he gets more minutes. Like, those are the, like, just saying play X amount of minutes doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's not something that you should aspire to or want. But get him to where you get 24 good minutes out of him a night. I think that's the goal with him. And I think with Shaden, get more aggressive, get off the bench and be, or if you're coming off the bench for the rest of the season, however that ends up working, show that you can swallow your pride and do the things that you need to do and make it difficult for the Blazers to have to offer you an extension this summer.
Boy, that is hard. It's a hard turn, though, because I think what all of us entering the season, it was, all right, at this point, what we'd be looking for is, all right, what do they get for Jeremy Grant, right,
mm-hmm.
in trade? Because that ship doesn't seem like it's completely sailed, but boy, has the temperature cooled on movement of Jeremy Grant from where we were this offseason to the beginning of the season and where we are just a few months into the season with only a couple weeks before the trade deadline happening.
And the thing around that, it's not just Jeremy, Ant, DA, Matisse, whether or not transactions happen or not, we can all read the tea leaves about what they're going to do post All-Star break.
Ant's going to be an interesting one, yeah?
Yeah. I think Ant is a guy that if he is here after the trade deadline, which I, for the first time is a real opportunity, he could be moved the deadline. I don't expect him to be, but I think he's open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I think he gets shut down. Maybe not immediately, but...
We may see the sporadic shutdowns, which we've seen in years past. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, Ant gets shut down for 2 weeks, then he comes back, but JG gets shut down, and Ant comes back, and then they overlap with DeAndre getting shut down with like 2 weeks of
as long as Donovan's Jeremy healthy and, kind yeah, of situation. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like you're just trying to balance that stuff, and so it's not pretty. It's not fun. I don't like it. And this is the ugliness of tanking that I hate so much, but they'll fake it till they make it. And they'll keep the win total under probably 23.
And I will say that if the wins pile up and no movement happens at the deadline,
oh, that's a problem.
That's a failure problem. Of the season.
No, it's a problem.
It's a failure of the goal of what they saw.
There's one way it's not a failure. It's because Scoot, Shaden, Two, Denny, Donovan, if they're the ones that are like responsible for wins because they're something clicks and they're figuring it out, then it's like, it's a good problem to have.
I think it is a problem though, because that's how you get into basketball purgatory.
I agree. Like, but like, you understand what I'm saying though.
I know you see growth, but growth is what growth was like one of the main goals.
Yes.
Of this season.
Holistically,
it was losing,
it's not a failure. That's what I'm going
growth.
With.
Yeah. All right. Well, boy, these next 2 weeks are, we need to kind of, I think as a fan base, we need to see the organization ratchet up the heat of a trade market, trying to get something done. If it doesn't happen, I think we are going to start seeing the pitchforks come out for this team. Mm-hmm. And if nothing less, got to see some of those losses start piling up. Not a good spot to be in right now. But this, as you said it, we talked about this. When we first started this show together, the tank was, all right, we're getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, fans better be about that life. And we knew that there were not going to be a lot of fans that were about it. Because
there's
nothing
pretty about it until you get the guy. And once you get the guy, then it's like, all right, let's go.
For a lot of it, it is, dude, you just got to check out.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to check out for long stretches, and then you got to come back in and be like,
check the water. Is the water good? Too cold? Too hot? What is it?
I'll tell you what, it was been through it. Mm-hmm. I've been through it with the Houston Astros. It changes the way you approach a season as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the middle of it, it sucks.
It sucks something fierce.
But if you can come out on the other side,
the ends justify the mean.
It's a lot better, but that is also easier said than done. All right, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. What do you guys want to see in this back half of the season? We'll get some of your feedback on the Vancouver Ford text line. Danny and Dusty on the Fam.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
God, I love the early tips.
All right, your feedback on the Portland Trail Blazers back half of the season. 43 games gone, which means that 39 remain. After today, it'll be 38. They have the Orlando Magic tonight in Orlando.
Yeah, and Franz appears to be questionable, which...
Franz Wagner.
I really wanted to watch some Franz.
Well...
Don't worry, Paolo will give it to him.
Maybe Hans will be there?
I am Hans, and I am Franz. We're here to pump... You up.
Listen to me now and believe me later.
Listen sometime soon.
Where are the Blazers? How about everybody 1 through 5 is questionable with back soreness and listed as day-to-day? How about Chauncey lets me go play the one for the rest of the season? Let's be smart about this. Danny's been telling us to wait till March, but I don't think we can afford to do that.
As much as everybody wants to
draw Rufio. Rufio at point guard would be something. I think we'd have a height disadvantage.
Everybody wants to do what the Wizards are doing. And that's fine if you want to get rid of every single one of the players.
There is a way to do it because tanking can culturally put you in a place that is very hard to get back out of. Like
it's not impossible.
The true tank.
But like as I'm saying, really when bad. You go Philly process or what the Wizards are doing right now.
Or what the Pistons tried to. Look how long it's taken the Pistons to get out of this thing.
And that's why you're leery of just pulling the plug on everything to start the season. Because... it doesn't just affect the players. It affects the support staff. It affects the front office. Mm-hmm. It affects the medical. Like it impacts everyone. Everybody's like, well, it doesn't matter. Blunt, screw you.
Well,
because it does. These are people. You can't just be like, you know what? We're going to chew you up and spit you out. And you don't matter because me as a fan, I get what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's not the real world. You can't do that.
Franchises that in the NFL, look, the NBA may have the G League, but that is not a developmental.
No, it's an incubator for guys to get some run.
The NFL teams that chase quarterback they continue to be bad because it rips apart your culture, trying to tell guys who are playing for contracts moving forward that you don't matter.
Yep.
And we are going to intentionally lose, right? In Major League Baseball, tanking worked at such an extreme level.
They had to redo the draft.
Because they did, where you can't be in the lottery for back-to-back years or you're going to get bumped down. See the White Sox this past year, right? But it worked in baseball because you had a minor league system where you could hold all of these guys back and say, our big league club, it's going to suck, but our culture is going to be damn strong.
It's going to come up
single
A
all the way through triple A, and these guys are going to grow as professionals, and then we're going to start filtering them in over time, and we're going to get better at the big league club.
And bring
and
a couple veterans in to help kind of solidify
that
things.
That is how baseball was able to do it, and it ran so rampant, they were like, we need to fix this.
Yes. And the problem is in the NBA, you can't just do that. But the flip side, and this is not to say, the Spurs are a bad example because the Spurs culture is Spurs culture, but that Spurs culture also led to a period of absolutely objectively awful basketball before they got Wemby.
Mm-hmm.
Things didn't change because of the Spurs culture. Things changed because they got a generational prospect. And when you get a prospect who is wired like Wemby, that's the thing is, you can have the talent, Zion, you can have the talent and fail. But if you don't have the talent and the culture to go with it, which is why you want a guy like Cooper, which is why you want a guy like Dylan Harper, because they're wired differently to go with the talent. And if you get one of those guys, it can pull you out.
Are the Blazers ever going to be on TV like they said they would? I thought after January 1, they would be on YouTube TV. That text coming in.
Yeah, that was a situation between Sinclair and YouTube, and it appears that there was a misreading or misunderstanding of contractual language, and ball was dropped.
Uh-oh.
Look, and that's my employer, so look, I'm not thrilled about it.
That sucks.
But they are working to resolve it. It is something that the Blazers have nothing to do with it, for everybody who's wondering.
Yeah.
This is wholly and solely between Sinclair and YouTube, and I think both sides are motivated, but also YouTube is in a position where they don't look at individual teams, they look at whole leagues. So they're just this is the same situation that is happening in Phoenix because they have the over the air broadcast as well. And they may just be waiting to kind of group a bunch of them together. So it might be something that ultimately ends up being out of Sinclair's hands.
Here's a text that says, I find it uncomfortable watching a team. I cannot figure out what they're trying to be. At least with OKC from the jump, you could see what they were trying to build, what identity they wanted. When will the Blazers start showing that?
You're lying through your teeth if you say that you knew what OKC was doing when they said, Paul George, go! Russell Westbrook, go! Please, figure this out. They got a nice prospect back in SGA, and they hoped and prayed.
Yeah.
That's not knowing. Crazy if you think that's like...
Their GM made a bunch of moves, though. Savvy moves, compiled a bunch of draft picks, really sold off everything for first-round picks that were not going to be good.
Selling two in-prime Hall of Fame players is a really, really good way to get a lot of assets.
Well, yeah. But
like that's what everybody wants to take out of this. Like, yeah, if you traded Dame 2 years before they got traded, probably would have got a metric crat ton for him. And I think both player and organization probably wishes they would have.
There was a facet of Blazers fan base that was asking for that too. You know,
sure.
They absolutely were in the moment, in the time, saying, no, we're not going to get over the hump because there was so little faith in Neil Olshey.
Yes.
But I think Neil Olshey also had a lot to do with that, in that he was like, I am going to make this work. I am going to prove myself right. And he didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
Now, Cronin has got some draft capital they got back. You got to turn it into something, though. And you got to start doing it in relatively short order. All right. That's our Blazers talk. Keep the text coming in.
Yeah, we'll revisit a little bit later in the show. Come up next, we have our worst day on the web, and there's bad ways to get fired. There's worse ways to get fired. What if somebody just sent you an email with a rubber duck alongside? You're fired.
It's not the worst.
Yeah, it's not the best.
Yeah, duck you.
There you go. We'll get to that here coming up next, the worst day on the web. But first, here's Big Kenoa Sports and Update.
This is a Conference Championship Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
This is one of those situations where layoffs happen. They suck. They're not good.
No, they're not good. They're awful. They're terrible.
Especially when they come in the mass termination.
Yeah.
Because they're very impersonal and nasty. And it's usually like a, hey, let's all go have a meeting. And behind you, all of your emails and all of your credentials are being eliminated and locked. And your stuff is being boxed up. And you're like, wait, what?
It could be worse. I mean, remember the Jets player on Hard Knocks who tried to get into the facility and his key card didn't work? And he's like,
they cut me.
Well, guess I'm done.
That's so wild. Like, don't even tell him. If you make me show up to work to fire me, I'm going to be very mad.
Hmm. Well,
happened to me once.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. When you show up to work and then they sit you down.
Yeah,
and
don't
say,
make me show up to work.
To tell me that you're laying me off.
Yeah, don't. No.
When I show up for a shift where there's supposed to be two people,
now, wait
2 weeks
minute.
After
now,
you told me I couldn't ditch out on a shift that needed two people.
Now, you're under the... your thing is that you showed up, they were saying, we're going to let you go, but you're going to keep working.
No. They gave me the option to keep working. They said, you can keep working or you can go right now and take your package. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah. See ya.
Deuces.
And you're just saying, don't make me drive in to fire me. You would rather them do it over the phone or email than in person?
Yeah. Don't waste my day.
Yeah, all right.
And definitely don't make me come in on a Monday.
I have a feeling like nobody's going to want to fire you in person because I have a feeling that is a little bit explosive.
I mean, I've never been fired, so.
Well, I feel like it would be explosive. So I think you're safe with the email firing.
Yeah, The closest I've ever even come to that is I didn't have a contract renewed, but I didn't want the contract renewed. And I was like, hey, do you guys mind if I walk around and say goodbye to everybody? I'm like, no, go ahead.
All right, see ya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like one of those situations where I was like, this is a bad fit for both of us.
Yeah.
I was like, let's keep this moving.
You've never been brown boxed and escorted out of the building?
No.
We've had a couple of those.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Back in the day, we've had a couple of those here where it's like, we're going to have to walk this person out of the building, and there's going to be a little bit of scene going on.
Yeah.
Yikes, dude.
No, at that place, honestly, even my boss was like, no, I get it. And I went around basically the whole place.
See, that's good.
Because I had a bunch of people I like working with. It was just one of those situations where they went down one path, and I was like, I don't want to do that.
Don't want this one.
So hard pass.
Not
good. I've got other offers. I'll see you later. Bye. In this case, you know the software company, Stripe, the payment software company?
No idea.
They're like SquarePay and all the other ones.
All right,
yep. They accidentally sent a PDF image of a cartoon duck to 300 employees they were attempting to lay off. That was the attachment on their termination emails.
Damn. Wait, so it was just a rubber duck and it said you're fired?
Quack, quack! Quack, quack!
I would imagine that duck was like...
Dude.
It says that is U.S. Brutal. Non-California duck. And it's a little cartoon duck.
No way.
I would imagine that this was like the holding place for whatever letter they were going to put there. And some HR underling... push send before swapping out the actual attachment.
That sucks.
By the way, the 300 employees make up about 3.5% of their total workforce. So this is a company just under 1,000 people, and they say, just under 10,000 people. And, but they, over 300.
Over 300.
300 ducks. The only thing worse, I think,
believe they need to get their ducks in a row.
Right. The only thing worse was if like they just went around instead of going duck, duck, goose, they just gave you duck, 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 and if you had a duck, you were fired.
Yeah, like if you showed up to your cubicle and there's a little rubber duck instead of a pink slip, you get a rubber duck on your desk, and it's like, oh damn. Now that would be something.
Little keepsake.
Mm-hmm. Like baby's first firing. Baby's first firing right here. You get to keep this duck.
So dumb.
RJ is chiming in. He's on the Vancouver Ford text line. Absolutely, you have to do it in person. Be professional. Fire someone in person. I don't know.
I get that sentiment. I'm saying do not exploit labor from me, nor make me come into work.
Well, how are they going to do it in person? You want them to drive to your home?
No. I am just tell me. Like, send me an email, give me a call. I don't care.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think there is a level of decorum where you fire them in person, sure, and you can say, you say your piece, say mine. Because the email is just like, that seems like it's the passive way to do it.
Oh, it is.
Right?
It 100%
like,
is.
Yeah, get whatever you type up as a response, they could just be like, delete.
Yeah.
And they'd never even read that thing. At least in person, you can be like, is there, you know, here is why.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling on this one?
My wife does this regularly.
Yeah.
She is
my wife.
Yeah, she's a, she works at the state, you know, high up in HR. And, she has very specific things about this, and I've had this argument with her about like when and how to fire people. They always fire people on Mondays.
Okay.
And I am like, that's despicable. That's disgusting. Give me, like, let me know through the weekend. So if I'm
do it on Friday afternoon on my way out the door.
Ding, 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 ding. If you're gonna do it, that's my whole thing.
It's just like, tell me, you know, on the way out, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You ain't back on Monday.
Because honestly, I think that's the best possible way to do it. She, again, she has argued with me and she's a professional, but I'm gonna argue with her. Because I think most people are gonna be irritated. They're gonna be frustrated. They're gonna be like, they're not going to be, I think most people getting fired are not going to be in a good state of mind. No. Let them go take 48 hours. Her pushback is that if you get fired on Monday, the office isn't closed. And so if you need resources or you need access to things.
Oh, yeah.
And again, sure, my brain doesn't go there because the only resource I want to find is the phone number to call you to go bleep yourself.
Right.
Like, they,
see,
you
again,
know what I mean? Like,
why you're not going to be fired in person.
No. I mean, like, my wife works from home and I hear some of these through the wall occasionally.
Yep.
Most of them don't go well.
No, obviously.
Most of them don't go well, folks.
Mm-mm.
And I, every time I'm always like, wouldn't have been me.
Well, there's also an element of where it doesn't go well. There's probably a reason why, and it's that they're not performing well, they don't get along with the team very well that they're working on. It's a whole deal. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like it there's usually reasons why those things get explosive and they're so bad. So I, for one, I'm an in-person and I don't really care what day it would be.
You start hiring or just start dropping rubber ducks around the office.
Dude, that's a brutal way to go. I wonder if that person got fired. I wonder if And did the person that fired them just send them an email with a rubber duck and be like, I think you know what this means?
No, he's the one person who got the actual rubber duck on their desk. He goes, here you go, dummy.
They're like, yeah, you screwed this up. Now
because
you're
fired. That one person represents the whole company now.
Whole company.
And it's like, that's where this stuff is. Dude, so dicey.
I would not, being the firing person, like your wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she hates it.
That's sad.
She hates
that's
doing
a rough
it. She's always like, and she's like, she will do it to where she personally wants to do it first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Because that way she's not dreading doing it at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Message is crystal clear when done face to face. You also have a witness in the room. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, most of the employees are union in the state. So there's almost always a union steward present when my wife does it. So,
yeah,
that's another part of that.
That sucks.
That's how it goes. But yeah, if you
there's an art to firing people.
I think
there is.
I think there is.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta let them down softly.
Yeah, or sometimes not.
Or just you gotta know your audience.
Yeah.
Know your audience. Know who you're firing.
Don't dink around with it. Sometimes you gotta.
Don't beat around the bush. You gotta be direct. You gotta be clear. But you can let them down softly in doing that, you know?
Would you prefer the we're letting you go, like passive language, or would you want more blunt of like, we're going to separate, we're going to part ways?
I don't care.
You don't care?
It would not matter. Like
to some people it does. I am.
No names will be named in this, but there was a big meeting here one time where there was a, he's no longer with us, and there was a question that an employee had of like, they're dead? It's like, no they're not. Well, when will they be back? It's like, well, they're not with us anymore. And the message did not, it never registered. And they're like, so are they dead? It's like, no, they're not. It's like, And finally, somebody just turned around and goes, they got fired. It's like, oh. That was an experience.
Yeah, that's fun. Which is why, again, knowing your audience, sometimes you need to be like, hey, they were let go.
The third time, though, is the time where everybody's like, I think we all get it now, except for you.
Still not hitting, huh?
Oh, all man. Right.
Coming up, speaking of not hitting, Joe Mixon, running back for the Houston Texans, hit with a fine. Shouldn't have been. Danny and Dusty, today, the fan. How many people saw this coming out of the Texans and Chiefs game this weekend? Running back Joe Mixon of the Houston Texans was fined $25,000 by the NFL for, again, allegedly saying inflammatory comments about the officials.
Well, there, a quote came out, and it was attributed to Joe Mixon, who, not a great person, but in this instance was not wrong.
Understatement.
The quote was, why play the game if every 50-50 call goes with the Chiefs? These officials are trash and biased. And
he did not say that.
Obviously, if he did say that, he should be fined $25,000 by the NFL, because that's not true, but he never said it. There is a reporter, Will Kunkel of Fox 26 in Houston, who went up to Joe Mixon's locker, and he showed all 7 minutes and 16 seconds of his post-game availability, and not one time did Joe Mixon say, why play the game if 50-50 calls, all 50-50 calls go to the Chiefs? These officials are trash and biased. Never said it.
No, it was that, and that quote was actually another NFL player that quote tweeted it. I can't remember who it was, but that it was somehow attributed to Joe Mixon, but it was another player who wasn't in the game who said this.
So,
but somehow got back to, like, do the legwork. Again, HR, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, I feel like they're going to resend this one, because now, you know, you have all the Houston media is posting his entire availability, and they're like, but look, he never said that.
No. Are they going to pay for the billable hours for his agent?
But you know what they're doing, though, is by all of this, everybody is raising an eyebrow of being like, wait, do the Chiefs get all the 50-50 calls? Because Joe Mixon may not have said this, but everybody thinks he did. And now everybody's paying more attention to this, and because they're refusing to rescind the fine.
Especially when they start looking at Warren Sharp's data.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's pretty damning.
Especially in the playoffs.
Oop.
And yeah, I know Chief Sonk is going to chime in. He always does, and I love him for
it. His ear twitches every time he hears it.
Yeah, and I know what he's going to come back with is the Josh Allen stat of he gets more roughing the calls.
Not in the playoffs.
Not in the playoffs.
Not even close.
It's not particularly close.
No, or pass interference calls. Good Lord.
The pass interference is wild.
Yeah.
11-2.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That is quite a bit.
Particularly because all those great Chiefs wide receivers.
Yeah. Well, now, they did have them. I mean, this is over four postseasons, I know, so but I mean, it goes back. I mean, but to say that you're never committing pass interference, you can call that on every play.
Yeah,
because exactly. I will say this to every defensive back, not just the Chiefs ones.
You're all dirty.
You're all dirty, rotten cheaters. Mm-hmm.
Says the wide receiver.
Well, yeah, you of course I am.
That happens. It happens. All right, let's keep it in the football world. Coming up next,
am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. Which player outside of a quarterback will dictate the game the most this weekend? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.